here in the house of God. We pray that you feel a part of the Agape family. Amen. I got to say, praise the Lord to Sister Janet. She keeps sneaking out before I can catch her. Amen. Praise God for seeing Janet here. Amen. And we just bless and honor the Lord. Praise the Lord for Daryl, too. I've been trying to catch Daryl. Daryl's like the wind.
You
got a hold of
him right now.
Amen. Hallelujah. But truly, we thank God. Amen. How many know God is good? Amen. Come on. How many know God is good?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. We thank God. Amen. We bless the Lord. We thank God for the encouragement we received from the Light of the World Conference in Georgia, as well as the Apostolic Conference on yesterday. Amen. Truly, I can say that the Lord blessed and that the Lord moved. Amen. And we just thank God for all of the good things that he's doing. I heard someone say that I have not seen. Amen. We heard some testimonies yesterday of coming back from the dead. Amen. And Mother Bethay was there yesterday. Her testimony was so phenomenal. Amen. It's the first time I ever heard the testimony. She said back in 1940, when she was 25 years old, so anybody can do the math, though she's over 90. Amen. She said in 1940, they diagnosed her with cancer, and they told her parents to take her home. She's going to die. Wow. Amen. And she said she wasn't saved at that time. Hallelujah. How many know God is still good?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
She said she wasn't saved, and then she went home, and they were preparing her to die, and she kept expecting to die because the doctor said she was going to die. And he said, make her comfortable. She might make it a month. And what happened, they had opened her up, and on the way home, she had reopened, so the doctor went and restitched the opening. She had some type of internal cancer, and her intestines were actually pushing forward to the point of almost protruding. And the doctor said, well, when the intestine comes out, it's going to burst and it's going to be all over. So as it got closer and closer, she said they saw the red, so they knew that the intestines were almost ready to come out. Can somebody say, but God?
But God.
Come on, can we say, but God?
But God.
Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil or anybody else says. When God is involved, amen, God has the final say.
Amen.
She said she was expecting, and they all were expecting and making preparations to bury her. She said, and then when the intestine got close to the top, when it was about to come out, all of a sudden God covered it. Come on, can we get God a praise? Hallelujah. She said, God covered it. That was 73 years ago. She's now 98. She said, look what God has done.
Come on.
So I don't know what you may be experiencing today, but it's time to look and see what God has done. Amen. Amen. She's still walking and praising God, 98 years and going strong.
Come on now.
Amen. And I remember my grandmother gave a similar testimony when she was young. The doctor said she had a heart impairment or ailment and that she was going to die. She was only in her 20s. But God.
But God.
When she died, I think she was almost 88 years old. I'm saying to say, you know, doctors do their best. And God, can we thank God for the doctors?
Hallelujah.
But I heard somebody say that Jesus is Jehovah Rapha.
Come on now.
He's our God that healeth us.
Hallelujah.
I said Jesus is Jehovah Rapha.
Yeah.
He's our God that healeth us. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
God can do anything. Let us stand. I just thank God. I was encouraged. All these testimonies of people being dead and God raising them back from the dead.
Come on.
Somebody praying for someone and God raising them from the dead.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Listen, there is no secret what our God can do. What he's done for others, guess what? He can do the same thing to you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. We need to be encouraged. Let's turn to Psalms 84. We're going to read Psalms 84. Actually, let's turn to Psalms 42. We'll read 42. It's only three verses. And then have you be seated. Then we'll go to Psalms 84. Amen?
Amen.
Do we all have it? Can we say amen?
Amen.
The scripture says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they say continually, unto me, where is Lord, we bless you on this afternoon for the hearing of your word.
Hallelujah.
Now, Lord, we ask you to anoint the word. Lord, to anoint the ears and hear it. Anoint the hearts to hide thy word in our hearts. Lord, we ask you on today, just bless us. Lord, we acknowledge at this time that without you we can't do nothing. But we ask you to send the word of anointing. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Our message today is going to deal with a longing for God. A longing for God. Now, I've heard two testimonies. Well, I've heard more than two, but I'm going to focus on two before I get back to this, besides the ones we heard yesterday. Yesterday, Bishop Leon Williams was scheduled to be the speaker on yesterday afternoon. And he came in, he had been in dialysis. And he's 85 years old, you know, dialysis takes a lot out of you, amen. Amen. Most people, when they come out of dialysis, go home to rest,
yeah.
Amen. So when Bishop Williams came in, I said, Bishop Williams, didn't you just get out of dialysis? He said, yes, I did. I said, well, Bishop, what are you doing in church? He said, I don't care what I got out of. I don't let nothing stop me from getting to God.
Hallelujah.
I said, whoa.
Thank you, Lord.
85 years old in dialysis. He said, I don't let nothing stop me from getting to God and coming to church.
Come on now.
You know, that left an impression on me. 85 years old, and you know, sometimes we have a tendency to let little things prevent us. Amen. And then I went to my cousin's funeral, homegoing service earlier this year, and she had been having dialysis. And the preacher said when she would come out of dialysis, she would come to church. They said she didn't have enough strength to come to the front, but she came to church and sat on the back pew. And they used to say, Sister Wanda, why don't you go home? She said, no, I want to hear a word from God.
Come on now.
When I hear that, and I think, Lord have mercy. That's a longing to be with God. That's a desire to be with God.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm not saying this could condemn us or make any of us feel bad, but Lord have mercy.
Yes, sir.
What little things are we preventing, allowing to prevent us from getting to God? Amen?
Amen.
And not only did Bishop William stay there, but he even stood up and gave words of encouragement. Though weak he was, he said, I won't let anything stop me from getting to church and to my God.
All right.
Are we allowing, the devil is shrewd. What are we allowing to get in the way of us getting to church? Amen. What little things are we magnifying that's preventing us? Well, this is David. Come on, don't be quiet on me. I ain't fussing. I'm just saying, this is what impacted me. Amen. I'm not talking about you. You can do what you want. But me, that impacted me. An 85-year-old man, he was taking slow steps, but he was there. If God used that as a measuring stick for us.
Come on, Elder.
What excuses can we have? But that does bring us to Psalms 42 and Psalm 84. It's concerning King David. After he had failed God, how many know God can make a way out of no way?
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank God that he doesn't look at the failure, but our God is more interested in the recovery.
Amen.
God is not interested in the failure. God focuses more on the recovery. David had failed God, and Psalm 51 says, David prayed and asked God. He said, God, whatever you do, don't cast me out of your presence. And God, more than anything else, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me.
Come on, Elder.
There's a treasure. There's a closeness. There's an intimacy with God
Come on,
that you
talk
only
about
receive
it.
Through His Spirit. At this point in David's life, he had fled from Absalom, and he was no longer near the tabernacle.
Thank you, Jesus.
He was no longer near the Ark of the Covenant. At this particular point, David was separated from church. David was separated from God. And the only way that David could express it in his song, he said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul that's down deep in the seat of my emotion. David says, so panteth my soul after thee. Now, this panting, you know, like sometimes when you say, well, he just one. This was one of those panting that was an audible cry.
Come on, Elder.
Everybody knew that the king wanted to get back to the place where God was.
Hallelujah.
Lord, thank you.
Hallelujah.
How many of us, when we down in the valley of despondency, amen, we all mess up because we're not perfect.
Come on, Elder.
But when we get to the place where things have separated us between us and God, how many of us long to get back to God?
Hallelujah.
He said, down my soul, I'm panting after God like the water brook. And verse 2, he says it this way. My soul. Can we say my soul?
My soul.
My soul thirsted for who? God. I don't just want any kind of God in the name of Jesus. He said, but I'm so hungry. I'm looking for the living God.
Come on, preach that word.
Amen. I said, where do you find the living God? You find him in the house of God.
All right.
What things have we allowed to prevent us to lose our hunger for God? Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. I wonder this afternoon, what has replaced our longing for God? What has replaced our hungering for God? What has replaced our thirsting, not just for any God, but for the
living God?
David was now separated from God, and David said, I gotta get back, hallelujah, to the place where God is. He needed to get back. So he said, I'm hungry for the living God. He said, Lord, I don't know when, but when shall I appear before God? Now the next verse shows the desperation that the king had to do what? Get back to God. To be in the presence of the living God. Verse 3 said, my tears. Oh, Lord, thank you. My tears have been my meat night and day. David had a desire to do what? Get back to God. And David's purpose, I'm not going to let anybody, I'm not going to let anything stop me from getting back to God. He said, as the hard panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. The only thing that's going to count is that it is well with the soul. Can you see a tree in a manhole? Hallelujah. You got to get back to God. Is there anything that's hindering you from getting to God? Is there a person? Is there a job? Is there a possession? What's preventing you from getting back to God? Hallelujah. David said, down to my soul. Down in my soul. Lord, I feel so empty. Lord, I feel, hallelujah. I feel like I'm so far away from God. And David said, all I can do is pray that one day I appear back in his presence.
Right.
I wonder this afternoon, how many of us really appreciate how good God is?
Come on.
How many of us appreciate being in the presence of God? The psalmist said, in his presence is the fullness of joy,
And at his right hand there are, you know what the right hand symbolizes from God? It symbolizes the source of power and authority.
Right.
When you're right with God, you don't have to fear anything. Amen. He said, I don't fear. What can man do unto me?
Come on.
But I wonder, do we have a, I'm not talking about just, you know, anybody ever get hungry and say, I can just eat a little of this. I'm talking about an insatiable desire. I'm talking about a craving.
Come on.
I'm talking about I can't be satisfied with anything else but God.
All right.
I can't be satisfied with the job. It can't do me like Jesus.
Come on.
I can't be satisfied with my husband or my wife. They can't do me like Jesus. The only thing that satisfies me, hallelujah, is a touch of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Ken, the devil's trying to, he's been trying to steal my voice. He ain't gonna do it.
Can't do it, Elder.
Come on.
Like I said, if Bishop Williams goes to dialysis,
bring forth
I call out choke. Because you've been too good. I'm not going to let anything steal what God has given me.
Thank you, Jesus.
How many of us really hunger after God? Let's make an agreement. Can we throw the excuses out the window? Throw them out the window. There's nothing like being in the presence of God. Yeah, we can make up a whole lot of reasons why things aren't what they ought to be. And, you know, when I look at my life, I don't like a whole lot. But I can see her saying, when my soul looks back.
Come on.
When my soul looks back. Lord, I wonder how I got over, but through many dangers, torrents, and snares, I've already come. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Pray with me, oh God, keep my voice. Try it on.
You preach on, Elder.
Amen. My wife gave me this pill, that pill, whatever. Amen. Trying to doctor it up. Amen. But if I have to squeak it out.
Come on.
If I have to squeak it out, I'm going to get it out. Amen. I'm going to get it out. But David found himself in a strange place. Do any of us ever find ourselves in a strange place? When, I'm not talking about on the outside, you know, we can all put at the front. I'm talking about down in your soul, where there's a longing, there's a hungering, there's a thirsting to get back to God. Well, this was David after he and his own son tried to kill him. Now let's go up to Psalms 84. Psalm 84 is also a time in his life when he was separated from God. But David realized, even in being separated from God, I need to get back to the house of God. I need to get back to the place where God is in it. Any of you ever get to that point where it's just you all by yourself, and you and God are talking to each other? And you can feel the tug of God pulling you, but then you feel all those other external forces pulling too.
Come on.
Don't focus on the external forces. It's time to look unto Jesus.
Hallelujah.
It's time to keep your fix on Jesus. It's not time to keep making up excuses. Amen. Can you imagine a king didn't mind losing his honor by crying day and night? I wonder how many times we don't come to church. How do we cry day and night? I got to get to God. I'm talking about a longing to be with God.
Hallelujah.
A longing to be in the house of God. Or do we let temporary things satisfy? Can nothing satisfy you like Jesus?
Come on.
You remember the song, Satisfied With? Said he be my comforter. Said he be my God. Anybody really satisfied with Jesus this afternoon? Are you letting temporary, superficial is it look all right on the outside, but are we allowing those superficial things to gratify us? They can't do you like Jesus.
Come on.
Because Jesus not only gratifies the outward, but he enters the soul. The devil, we've been going over this so much in church, compromise, deceit, tricking the child of God to focus on not what's important. Amen. And Jesus told them, he said, you're worried about what you're going to wear. You worry about what you're going to eat. You're going to worry about what you're going to drink. You worry about what you're sleeping, where you're sleeping. You worry about what you're driving. He said, now this is what the people that aren't saved do. He said, but they that in church are to see first the kingdom of God. Now, if we take a Selah right now, you know and God knows. Have mercy. What do you see?
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. What is dominating? What is controlling? But this Psalm 84 is David once again. He says, Lord, how amiable. This means to love to be in the presence of. This word amiable is not just, oh, I'll just take it as a preference. No. It shows love for God. How amiable are thy, Lord, I love to be in your tabernacle. Well, where was David at? At this time he was living in caves and dens, fleeing Absalom. He couldn't get to the ark anymore. He couldn't get to the tabernacle anymore. He couldn't get to the place where the priest was anymore. So David, all he can do now is look back and reflect on God's tabernacle. Verse 2 reads, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth to be in the courts. That's why I say I can't let nothing stop me from church. I can't let anything prevent me from getting to God.
Come on.
I don't care where I go. God is the same. He has not changed.
All right.
Amen. There's something about being in God's presence that nothing else can replace. No one else can replace it. No other thing can satisfy like Jesus. God is special because God, hallelujah, is not like anything else as you can compare to. And he asked the children of Israel out there, to what can you compare me?
Come on.
Because there's nobody else like our God. But David realized this. He said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my
flesh.
It's something about the living God. We're not here in a dead church. Amen. I heard somebody say, I can feel him in my hands. I can feel him in my feet. I can feel him all over me. Because we're not in a dead church, but we're in a church, hallelujah, of the living God. Can you feel him in your hands? Can you feel him in your feet? Stand up and give God a praise. If God has been good to him, give God a praise. Give him a wave offering. Give him a shout. Nobody can do it like our God can. Hallelujah. That's God. Amen. Lord, it's in my heart and flesh. Cry, you can sit down, for the living God. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even. David said, I can't even get to God. But the sparrow and the swallow can get near the altar of God because they can fly there. David said, right at this point in my life, I'm jealous over the sparrow, and I'm jealous over the sparrow, the swallow. They can get next to the altar of God, but I can't get there. How many of us in our desperation, hallelujah, when we're not able to get there, how many of us desire just to get to the altar? Just to be able to say, Lord, I come withholding nothing.
Come on.
Lord, all I have is on the altar, and I How many of us desire to get to the altar? David said, even the birds can get to God, but I can't. O Lord, host my King and my God, blessed are they that what? Amen. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the
Most High.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Blessed are they that dwelleth in his tabernacle.
All right.
There's blessings in church. There's blessings that come to church. So the devil knows your blessing is in church. So he sends you obstacles and distractions to keep you away from your blessing. Then after you stayed away so long, you look at yourself and say, whoa, what happened? You have allowed your circumstances to rob God, you of your blessings that God had for you when? In church. Blessed are they that dwell in the tabernacle. Amen. Do you long after God? Are you craving God? An insatiable desire is no matter how much I get, I can't get enough. Lord, I can't get enough. The more you give me, the more I want. They will be still praising me, Salah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in. I wonder, where's our strength at this afternoon? Amen. Where's your strength? The Lord is the light, my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom, what, and whatever shall I be afraid? The Lord is the one strength. So blessed are they whose strength is in God and whose heart the ways are of them. It's nothing that can satisfy in your soul and in your life like God. I don't care what temporary things you do, they won't satisfy. Because all that temporary stuff will pass away. But God, hallelujah. The next verse. Who passing through the valley of Baca. Now, Psalm 84 is actually a portrait of the king trying to go on a pilgrimage to get back to God. 84 represents the king in his exile, in his abdication of his throne, trying to get back to God. Amen. How many of us in our souls, search yourself, know that I'm not where I need to be, but I need to get back to God. I need to get close to God. I need to say, for God I live and for God I die. Hallelujah. Nothing matters more than pleasing the Savior. So David said, passing through the valley of Baca. Now Baca represents hardships, represents difficulties, represents barrenness, represents a place where you got to put forth some effort to go through the valley. David said, not even that valley can stop me from getting to God. Barren, difficult, no water. I'm treasured out. I don't have anything. He said, not even the valley of Baca can stop me. He said, Baca making a well, the rain also filled the pools. You know what he said? Even though it's no good, hallelujah, I'm going through like it's filled with water because of God. Because of my longing to be with the living God.
Amen.
I wonder this afternoon, how bad, hallelujah, do we really want to be with God? The next verse. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion. Something about the church. Something about the house of God. To appear before God. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Anybody praying that, Lord? You know what? Right now, forget about all that stuff. You know, now listen, this is the word of God. This is the anointing. So the devil's going to play in your mind. Rebuke that. Say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. Job says this way. He says, Lord, I have esteemed the words of your mouth.
Come on.
More than my necessary food. Right now, as we're sitting here in church, the devil is playing in your mind. Kick him out. Kick him out. Rebuke that thought. Rebuke that negativity. And let God be God.
All right.
Hear a word from God. Amen. Jesus told them, he said, let him that have an ear hear what the Lord speak to us this afternoon. We don't want to wind up lost. We don't want to dishonor God. We want to be saved. Oh Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, our God shall our shield and look upon the face of thine. You know what, David, he's pleading with God. Now hear my prayer. He said, now remember, I am your anointed. You know how we get anointed today? Through the Holy Ghost.
All right.
If you got the Holy Ghost, you are God's anointed. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost. Because when you have the Holy Ghost, then God will look upon his anointed. Amen. People without the Holy Ghost struggle so bad, and God is right there to help.
Come on.
Then we didn't have the Holy Ghost, struggle because we won't allow God. We won't submit to God. Amen. The scripture said, if we will submit to God and then resist the devil will. But the problem is we're struggling because we refuse to submit to God. Oh God, I gotta do it this way. Why? You don't think God knows what to do? You don't trust that God can fix it? You don't trust that God can make a way? God has been doing everything from the beginning of the world, and he can't fix your little problems? Where's the trust at? Do you trust God? Every time God tries to fix it, you go and put your hands in it. And God said, okay, I can't do it until you leave it alone. He said, come up to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. He said, I give you some rest. You don't have rest because you keep putting your hands in it. Leave it alone.
Come on, elder.
God knows how to fix everything in our lives. He can fix it. He knows if we trust him. We're going to read about trust a little later here. But I wanted this afternoon, do we really trust God? Do you believe that God is able to fix all of your situations if you allow him to do it his way? Yes. How many of us are standing in the way of our blessing because we won't submit? Submission is an easy thing. Just say, Lord, I've done it for so long my way. And when I chart the progress, when I look back over it, I see that things got worse and worse. I got a temporary reprieve. But then it went back downhill again. Why? Let God go this way. You gotta trust him. Amen?
Amen.
He said, for the day in thy courts is better than David is just rationalizing because he can't get to church. He said, Lord, I'd rather spend one day in thy court than 1,000 days out of the court.
Amen.
This sounds like somebody that wants to get back to God. This sounds like someone that will prevent little things or hinder them from getting to God. If I look at myself, I say, oh, I don't feel good, but I see an 85-year-old man that just got out of dialysis, sitting in a pulpit and encouraging the saints.
Come on, elder.
Me, I don't care about you because I don't have to answer for you, but I do have to answer for me.
Come on.
Lord, what kind of excuses can I make up? What things have prevented me from having my longing after God? He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in. I'd rather be with God than do anything that's ungodly or that would dishonor or displease my God. This is a desperate plea. Can we say a desperate plea?
Desperately.
To be with God. A desperate plea. Lord, I remember what it used to be like, hallelujah, when we were in your presence and singing and shouting. Well, if any of us have strayed away from God, we know what it used to be like. So the devil sent those smoke screens or camouflage just to say, oh no, I found it. No, can't nothing satisfy like God. And nobody or nothing can satisfy you like Jesus.
All right.
Amen. I can guarantee you that. Amen. I've been saved since 1976. And my testimony borders that of David. He said, I was young. Now I'm getting older. He was old. I ain't there yet. I'm getting older. But never have I seen the righteous. Anybody right inside of God? You have a promise from God that he will not forsake you. He's going to be there for you. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his begging. I'm wondering, in our place where you are right now, what in the world are we so shaken over? You don't trust God? You don't believe that God can fix your little problems? He spoke the world into existence. Your problem is nothing but minuscule in comparison. But the problem is you holding on to too much of you, and you won't let go. It's time to let go and come on, y'all know it. Let go and can you tell yourself, I'm gonna let go right now, and I'm gonna let go. Lord, I'm tired of fighting you. I'm tired of resisting you. Every time you try to fix it, I get in the way. So right now, I'm going to let go, and I'm going to let God. Hallelujah. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Can we read this together? How many? Now, this is who you trust. How many trust God? I trust. I'm not talking about just a fake trust. I'm talking about a real trust. Even though I don't know how God's going to fix it, even though I have all these threats, I know he's still going to fix it. So I trust God. How far do you trust him? Lord, you know what? Whatever's going to happen is in your hand. All I can do can't change it anyway, so I trust you to the end. Let's say this together. No good thing will he withhold from them that walketh upright. Upright means you're right in the eyes of God. If you're walking right in the eyes of God, guess what? You have a promise from God. Forget about the naysayers. Forget about all of these people that are saying this and that. Are you upright? Then God has given you the assurance that no one can withhold that good thing from you because of God. Amen. We're almost finished with this chapter. O Lord of hosts, what does the scripture say?
Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee.
Blessed is the man that what?
Trusteth in thee.
Do you trust him? Then you're blessed. Somebody say, you don't know what my life is like because you don't have full trust.
Amen.
Because when you have full trust, God will work it out in your behalf. Amen. The Bible says, if God said, when you trust God, he said, now if I be for you, who then can be? But when we don't trust God, when we get out too far in the water, we don't want to go out too far because things might go bad. I got to be close enough so I can get back to the shore where is my security. But when I trust God, I just keep going. And I don't look
back.
That's the tool that the adversary uses against so many of us. God is trying to take you there, and you keep looking back there. So God said, I can't get you to go forward because you won't keep yourself from looking back. God is trying to take you to another spiritual level. And every time God makes you the promise, the devil tricks you in your mind and say, well, look what happened before. Uh-uh, God doesn't work like that. If God be for you, who then? That's a mighty scripture.
Amen.
That's a powerful scripture.
Amen.
Well, you don't know if I do this. No, God is for you.
All right.
Who can be against you? And then if it messes up, it gets crooked because God is for you. He takes the
straight.
The reason that our crooked things aren't straightening out is because we're not letting God do it.
Come on, Elder.
We fix a crooked thing, and instead of it being a slight curve, there's a big S turn.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And then the S turn turns into a half-hand turn. I went on one of those one time. Scared you to death. You know what a half-hand turn is? You go up, and all of a sudden, you're coming right back. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happened to us in church. We got too many half-hand turns in our lives. God keeps trying to take us to another level. And right when God gets to the point where he wants to take us straight, we go back. Can we say a happy and saint? Come on, happy and saint. You know what happens when you're a happy end? You wind up back where you started. Amen?
Amen.
God is taking you forward. Then you loop yourself right back. If you ever go down Route 2, up to North Adams, I don't know who has been on that road, Route 2 on Mass. I know my wife has, Sister Patty. That road was scary. All of a sudden, you're heading back where you came from. Well, that's what happened in so many of our same lives. We got too many happy end turns. Amen. Jesus says, straight is the gate.
Amen.
And narrow is the way. When you make a happy end, you make that gate too broad. Then you bring too much of your stuff in there. Amen. We need to go straight. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
In closing, he says, truly God is good to Israel and to such as be of a clean heart. And then and the psalmist said, because I lost sight of God and I lost sight of what God can do. He said, my foot had well nigh slipped. My steps were almost gone. You know what he's saying? He said, I started looking around and I almost backslid. Amen. I start looking at the winds of adversity. I start looking at the sea that was roaring. The psalmist said, I almost slipped. Well, what was the problem, psalmist? He said, I was envious when I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
Hallelujah.
I was envious, hallelujah, until I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Then he said, until I went into the sanctuary. He said, initially I was doing it naturally. But then when I went to church, God showed me what was happening spiritually. Until I went into the sanctuary, he said, then understood I. There's an end. Hallelujah. But you won't get it outside of the sanctuary. You get it when you come in to the sanctuary. And the psalmist goes on to say a little later, he said, Lord, I am continually with you. He said, you have holden me by my right hand.
Amen.
And as he's going on and he's giving his discourse and explaining about God, he said, God, thy counsel will guide me forever, and then you'll receive me up to glory.
Hallelujah,
but when you're longing after God, when you want God this much, he said, Lord, whom am I in heaven but thee?
Hallelujah.
This is when you know you're real with God. Whom am I in heaven but thee? There is none that I desire on earth besides thee. Whom have I? This is when you got it right. You know what it said? Nothing can replace God as we stand. Are we really longing after God? Are we hungering after God? Do we understand what it means to be in God's presence as all the teams and the elders and ministers come forward? Do we understand what it means to let God have his way? To stop fighting God? To stop resisting God? To stop getting to so many half-hand turns and having to start all over again? You know, some of our lives is just like an oval track. We just keep going over the same thing over and over and over again. God is trying to take us one place, and every time God tries to move us somewhere else, we go back again. It's trying to let go and let God. It's time to holler and thirst after righteousness. And in the end, you should say, Lord, whatever you have to do to me, just don't let me be lost for eternity in the name of Jesus.